Off the ball, GAA.
Dublin are more vulnerable now that Brian Fenton is gone. And then I was thinking back, geez, the last game Brian Fenton missed for Dublin was the open round of the Leinster Championship against Meath when they absolutely tanked them.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. The Club Championship Show on Off the Ball in partnership with AIB, proud sponsors of the football, ladies football, hurling and camogie All-Ireland Club Championships. Check out hashtag the toughest for more.
Welcome along. It is the Club Championship Show here on Off the Ball with AIB. We're back for the new year. Proud sponsors of the All-Ireland Club Championships in hurling football, camogie and ladies football. You can check out the hashtag the toughest throughout the championship, and particularly coming into this weekend where we have the senior club football and hurling finals. The stage very much set for Croke Park. New names, no matter what happens, will be etched onto both the Andy Merrigan and Tommy Moore Cups. We're guaranteed first-time winners in the club football and the club hurling finals. Ergal Kieran, ecstasy for them in the end, previously losing out in two All-Ireland football semis, but inspired by the Canavan brothers at the weekend, they won an absolute classic against Dr. Crokes after extra time on Saturday afternoon. Coolit will have the opportunity to become dual All-Ireland champions. Con O'Callaghan led the way for them in their victory against Culrestrand Hill in the other semi-final in Cavan. Didn't work out for the Sligo champions having Jamie Fox in their corner going into that one. 25 years ago, Nafina's footballers came up short in an All-Ireland final, but their hurlers will have a chance to win the hurling at the weekend. They take on Cork's Sarsfields at Croke Park. That's the opening game of two at 1:30. We'll have the football at 3:30. Delighted to say Tommy Rooney is back with me. How are you, Tommy?
Afternoon, Will. How are things?
Ah, look, you picked the right semi-final at the weekend. And that's not throwing any shade onto what happened in Cavan, but the game in Newbridge was an absolute epic. I was chatting to Amory Donnan, who works with us Off the Ball, and she was making the point that if every game was like the match that we saw between Dr. Crokes and Ergal Kieran, we'd be pining for the old rules and not looking for new rules at all.
Yeah, it was a cracker. And I think it looked like it was going to be a cracker on paper with as well, looking from afar. Just given the, I suppose, the principles of play that you could say Dr. Crokes have, and maybe some of the football that Ergal Kieran played up to that, and you kind of had the suspicion that the Shackles might be let off a bit in this All-Ireland semi-final, and it all combined to just create this brilliant game that it definitely bubbled. Like it wasn't like it from the very, very start of the game. You know, it was an open, nice game of football. But after the break, it just kind of exploded. And maybe once Rory Canavan took that quick free and set Dara away, it was like, whoa, what are we watching here? And then Dr. Crokes, like Pache, rolls the, you know, it's lads that were, you know, in an All-Ireland final back in 2007 off the bench. And they, you know, find their way to take the lead late on. And I'm sure we'll be talking about it. Yeah, Ergal Kieran, get that last gasp equaliser, you know, and then
you talked about on the football pods this week about McCartan's equaliser and maybe what Dr. Croke should have done to kill the game. Like, is there anything more that Gavin White really could have done, or what's your take? I know that James and Paddy had a massive back and forth on the football pod this week about it.
Yeah, and they both agreed. Like, and to be honest, I got a couple of messages immediately after the full-time whistle that were like, what was he doing with the free? But my instinct at the time was, there's nobody moving. And you know, like, you know when you're watching where lads are half frozen or they're half asleep. And even when White played that long ball, there were still a couple of Crokes forwards caught on their heels. It was the Ergal Kieran boys that anticipated where it was going to go. And it wasn't the worst ball. There was a clip put up by Cathal O'Kane on Twitter last night, which was that whole exchange, the 30, 40 seconds where the foul is made by Oguz. White is down. He takes his time. He gets up. He's looking around. He has a little smile because he's looking for someone. And in the ground, it felt like Brendan Cawley was about to blow the whistle and throw it up. And suddenly it's, you know, Ergal Kieran on the attack. Like, Shane Murphy is half being covered by the Ergal Kieran press, but it's not really a full-on press to just have bodies up. Like, Murphy probably could have gone to the corner and given a 1-2. That's probably the more obvious kind of place he could have gone. But when he's not making the move, it's like in soccer, if you're not go with your movement around midfield, you can't work those triangles. And there was no triangle there for Gavin White. Fionn Fitz made one late desperate run, but at that stage, he's too close to Gavin White to flick it to him and get it back. And it just, like, it wasn't the worst decision that he made, but it just ended up falling into the wrong man's hands, Petey Hart. I'm not sure many others would have switched play the way he did. And then Peter Og McCartan, who just must have a bottle of, I don't know, bravado somewhere, because kicks the winner against Kilcoon. It's one thing kicking the winner, but kicking the equaliser when the clock is in the red, hats off to him.
Yeah, if they go on to win the American Cup at the weekend, he is very much up there with the Canavans in terms of the story that Éireann Kilcheirán have had on this year so far. Because again, that is Lee Rhodey shown in two big situations. And as you say, it's very different when you're potentially going to extra time anyway against Kilcheirán and it's a percentage shot and you see what happens. In that case, that's literally one play. That's either you go home or you go to Croke Park.
Yeah, and he was more than happy to take that shot on. Like, Paddy was making the point, there's two fellas outside of him, but, and we were trying to get into this a bit, like, you see it, you see it in hurling as well at the weekend, just clutch moments and players stepping up, like, Shane Maloney's point, when he robs the Watergrass Hill midfielder and puts it over the bar, was just, what a score, and then the next three attacks drop short before Sean Desmond gets that chance and buries the goal, and it was similar in injury time at the Éireann Kilcheirán game. Like, Rory Canavan kicks the first wide of the game from a Canavan brother perspective. He had hit the post before that, but he kicks wide in injury time. Then there's another wide kick by Éireann Kilcheirán. And then Croke's attack, there's a brilliant tackle, an interception made, but it leads to Micheál Byrne's kicking the score, who had been brilliant all day for Croke's. But when it came down to that clutch moment, they must be made of something else, Will, or there must just be something going on in the head where you're laser focused. There's no worrying about this opportunity. It's you've taken this kick 50 times in training, 100 times in training over the last couple of weeks and months, and they're locked in and they're doing it. So I don't know. Sports people and players, they often talk about being in the zone or being in the flow. And, you know, I think when we see a fella striking a ball like that, it's obvious that, you know, there was an element of that going on there, because regardless of two fellas desperately jumping at him to block it, it was a beautiful strike, and he had turned around, you know, with the fist in the air celebrating the second it left his boot as well. So yeah, big moment. But the thing is, Will, all the talk this week has been about Éireann Kilcheirán, given how enjoyable that game was, and the Canavan brothers, given their excavates, you know, the 110 out of 110 by the 54th minute for their team. Tell you what, I sat down and I watched the Coolah Clare Strand Hill game. Different game of football, absolutely. But you've got to be so impressed with some of those Coolah footballers. Like Killian Dunn, wing forward, wearing 23 in his back, had a mighty game, titanic game, making these big long runs right up until the end, setting up scores. Niall O'Callaghan, definitely playing with Dublin this year. Looks so dangerous.
I was just thinking that. When I saw Niall kicking some of the points that he did at the weekend, and I've watched Coolah a couple of times this season, between the Leinster final or semi-final and the match obviously at the weekend, he's impressed every time. Like, his movement is very good. Obviously all the headlines go to his brother, and he was man the match at the weekend again, but Niall is kicking his points remarkably well. I presume if you're Desi Farrell, you have to bring him in.
You'd imagine so, right? You know, you get your little break afterwards, and then you're in for the halfway point of the league, and it looks on paper like he's got all the attributes to go in there and be able to add something to a Dublin 26. Absolutely. So it'll be really interesting to see that one. Like, you mentioned Conn getting man of the match. Like his last 7 or 8 minutes was up there with anything he'd do in big games. He just stands up in big games. You know, he wins that kick out. He kicks a free, he kicks a point, wins a kick out, sets up another score. Point off the right, point off the left. Like, just the clutch moments. Like, there's an element of clutch about that as well. Like, we often talk about James McCarthy doing that when games enter the crunch point. You know, Dublin Mayo example. McCarthy would come into his own in the last 10 minutes. And when everyone else is nearly out on their feet, he'd be powering through to win a kick out or, you know, score a point on the run on his right as he opened up the hips. And Conn seems to have that trait as well, which, you know, I'm not sure. You can probably coach it or you can probably hone it, but if you haven't got it, you haven't got it. And, you know, the likes of himself and Mick Fitz were still going strong at the very end of the game. And I don't know, I was looking at matchups this morning, and myself and Michael McMullen, who, you know, works with Gaelic Life, were having a wee chat about it and who we think might take who. And, you know, Paddy and James are speculating about the kind of matchups as well and who might be a fit. And it's just really interesting. I think they're really well matched in midfield. I think Niall O'Callaghan is going to cause trouble for Éireann Kilcheirán in terms of a matchup. Might be interesting. Michael is kind of speculating that Ben McDonald, who was lined out in midfield but played fullback before against Carrigan, might slip back in there. Might be a natural matchup there, and they kind of reshuffle their midfield a bit. I think you're going to see Mick Fitz and Darragh Canavan. And then on the flip side, Cormac Quinn will probably take Conn O'Callaghan. Did a really good job on Tony Brosnan. Will Cormac track him out the field when Conn goes deep? I don't know.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, the likes of Petey Hart, what say is he going to have in this game? Tiernan Calhoun, you know, the speed of that fella. And then on the flip side, Charlie McMorrow, Killian Dunn, as I mentioned a little earlier on, Owen Kennedy, the hero in the Dublin Cup final. There's so many quality footballers there. And Joe Goods, like a titanic performance in midfield in extra time the last day, going up against Padraig Coffeyburn. That's going to be a cracker to keep an eye on in Croke Park.
If you're deploying Peter Hart here, and say you're Enda McGinley at the moment, I presume you want to keep him as free and get him on as much ball as you possibly can, as opposed to detailing him on someone.
Yeah, that's kind of the obvious thing. It's kind of what I had said as well. It's like you want Hart using his head, you know, and there's a good way of putting that. But, you know, you want him to be free, as you said. You want him probably dropping in front of, you know, that Coolerful forward line at times. And maybe, you know, Niall Kelly will obviously do a bit of that as well for him. But, like, just being available as that outball. And late on in the game against Dr. Crokes, especially in normal time, Peter Hart's influence really grew. It was really evident in some of the scores and some of the attacks that Errol Kieran had. And maybe it was just the way that the game had broken down, or I don't know. He just became more and more influential as that game went on. And they're absolutely going to need it this weekend. I didn't get to talk to him in terms of an interview afterwards, but I had a wee word with him going off the field and just said, well done. And I overheard him speaking to some of the other members of the press. And he was just saying, you know, he's been in a couple of All-Ireland finals before with Tyrone. And lost them, you know, against Dublin, and it was 18, where they just didn't really turn up after the first 10-15 minutes. Dublin kind of blew them away after that. Conn obviously had a big influence that day as well. So he knows all about being in finals and falling short. And I suppose the 8-day turnaround is one thing, but I don't think that's going to be a problem for Errol Kieran this weekend. I get the sense they're going to be locked in. I think both sides are going to perform this Sunday.
The 8-day turnaround something I was interested in. So obviously this wasn't ideal that the bad weather pushed everything back by a week. And then we were wondering middle of last week whether the bad weather was going to be a further problem. And maybe they might even have to have a contingency for the All-Ireland finals themselves. It's an incredibly short turnaround where, like, you're coming off the pitch, you've just been preparing for a semi-final. I'm sure the emotional come down off last Saturday. Then you probably do a recovery session on Sunday. You might get two decent sessions on the pitch during the week before an All-Ireland final. You'd much prefer to have a two-week break before it. But on the other hand, is there an argument, Tommy, that these two football teams going into the final could be ridiculously sharp come half three on Sunday?
Yeah, there's definitely an element to that. Now, I was right behind the Errol Kieran crowd, so it was particularly loud on our side. And you're right in front of the bench and the lads stretching and cramping in extra time and half time of extra time, and you could see it. Like, Rory Canavan was getting a bit of work done, and Peter Old McCartan was giving him a hand, and he runs into the dressing room, you know, for 2 minutes in that half time of extra time spell and goes back out. And it was worth noting that the likes of, look, Micheál Burns goes off with cramp in that game. Burns, Brosnan, and the two Canavans, they were quieter in extra time than they had been throughout full time. It's going to have an impact. But speaking out in the McGinley afterwards, he was like, look, if I go into this dressing room now and we've no injuries, we can deal with that. The mental fatigue, the cramp, the tiredness, we can get around that. We can work on that. We can get ourselves up for it. In 20 years' time, if we lose on Sunday and in 20 years' time we're talking about this game and we start going on about excuses, we played 8 days beforehand and actually we had extra time and Cooler did an extra time. And those excuses are not going to wash in the club. Like, they have a chance. Both sides have a chance to make history here. And 8 days turnaround, 18 days turnaround, whatever it is, I just don't think you're going to let that affect you when you've put in so much and you've done so much to get this far. You'll find a way to flick that switch in the brain to just get through one more big day.
Well, just before we hear from Dara Canavan then, how do you deal with the double problem that is Dara and Rory both on the field if you're Cooler this weekend? Because you keep one of them quiet. You say Mick Fitz goes over onto Dara. Rory is still there with the possibility to rip you to shreds himself as well. So it's a double threat they're going to have to look after.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, you can't talk about the Canavans without talking about the O'Callaghans, you know, and it's on the flip side as well. And, you know, Micheál Burns and Brosnan, while Cormac Quinn shut Brosnan down from play for most of that game, he kicked one brilliant score late on. Burns had a huge impact as well. Like, they hit 12 between them, whereas I think the lads hit 113 between them and just had their paws over everything. I don't think Cooler will set up the way Dr. Crokes did, which is really man on man. And when a matchup wasn't working, they'd switch the matchup. So, you know, Mikey Lynch started on Rory Canavan. Evan Looney ended up on him at one stage. Sean Fitz was there at one stage. You know, Gavin White was on Dara Canavan for quite a bit of that game. And what we've seen throughout their Ulster campaign, throughout the Tyrone campaign, is one of them firing at the same time. So we've had a game where Rory kicked 9 and Dara got 1. or Dara in the Kilku game. You know, a lot of people talk about Kilku shutting the two of them down. They shut Rory down. I don't agree that they shut Dara down. Dara sets the goal up for Joe Guz that day, one of the most important scorers. He's buzzing around the whole time. He was influential throughout. Dara Canavan can impact the game in a different way that Rory can. And on the flip side, you see Rory's pass at the weekend for the goal, like the freeze that he hits, the long range shooting. They're very different footballers. So you can't just deal with them like for like. So they're two different problems. And you're right that they have to be dealt with in tandem, but I don't know. I think there's only so much you can do in terms of damage limitation. And yes, that's bringing another body back. But, you know, might we see Thomas Canavan, Peter Hart, you know, McCartan, Oguz getting on the scoreboard a bit more then? And on the flip side, if you focus too much on Conor Niall O'Callaghan, you know, are the likes of Cal Doran and Luke Keating going to pop up with the scores for Coola? Because they have done at times throughout the year as well. So it's just, it's going to be really interesting to see what way Austin O'Malley and Enda McGinley set their teams up this weekend. I just think it's going to be a cracking game of football again. And what I hope is that we get those marquee forwards all delivering and all performing. Because the worst thing is that, like, and to be honest, we all kind of felt it in the first 5 minutes. Fionn Fitz and Rory Canavan clash knees. I'm not sure if you noticed this on TV. The clash knees and the boat went down for a couple of minutes. And Fionn Fitz gets up and hobbles away. But Enda McGinley, who's a clinical physiotherapist by trade.
He went on the pitch, didn't he? I did see that.
And enters the field, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So Brendan Cawley, the referee, I'm not sure if this is in the clip we're playing, but Brendan Cawley, the referee, orders him off straight away. The manager isn't really allowed on. But I was talking, Tim and Ambrose O'Donovan, Tim Moyne and Ambrose O'Donovan on Radio Kerry, and they were like, what is he doing? And I kind of just got my screen up and said, oh, he's a physio, you know? And they were like, oh, yeah, he's a physio. Maybe that's why. And so afterwards, I asked him, I was like, what happened? Like, and he was like, yeah, Maeve Canavan, who's our physio, is a student physio. So the deal we had all year long, and I'd made the deal in Throne, was that if something big happened, I would enter with that extra bit of expertise.
Right.
But they hadn't communicated that, I think, you know, to Croke Park or to whatever officials were looking after it this time around. So he said he was right to be sent off, and he put his hands up, and that was his own mistake. But it was like when Rory went down, you're thinking, oh no, are we about to lose, you know, this potential talent 5 minutes into the game before he'd even touched the ball? He doesn't touch the ball for another 6 minutes, and he just opens the hips and curls over an absolute beauty on the right. So I think all we're hoping for in Croker this weekend is we get another maybe David Clifford versus Shane Walsh. Maybe we get a little bit extra. Maybe we get a bit of Damien Comer and maybe a Sean O'Shea stepping in as well. We just get, you know, double trouble on both sides. And I think we get a bit of a shootout and we'll be happy at it.
Yeah, because again, we'll bring in a bit of reaction from both matches now in a second. But I was just thinking, right, so both these teams have had to overcome sides that set up defensively against them during the year.
Yeah.
There's that possibility where both these teams obviously love to attack. And we saw at times both teams were very direct. Like I really enjoy watching Coola when they turn the ball over and they decide we're going to move the ball quickly to our forwards. And similarly, you saw with the kick passing talent that's there with the backs for Eirgil Kieran, if they move the ball up to the forwards, they can do it stunningly quickly as well. Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering if we're going to get two teams who'd be happy enough to just go, you have a go, we'll counter back on you. And actually, this could be a classic All-Ireland final.
You'd hope so. And I think with such a tight turnaround and the focus on getting the bodies right in recovery, they probably will do a bit of analysis on each other this week. And they obviously know the main talents, but hopefully it does come down to that. Now, Coola's style of playing on the break, like they're similar to Kilmacud Crokes. They're probably a little similar to Kilku in that sense as well. And Eirgil Kieran have come up against that in that regard. They're such a powerful side going forward. Like that half back line of Kennedy, McMorrow, David O'Dowd, even Killian Dunn wherever he lines out. There's a lot of power there moving up the field. But on the flip side, Tiernan Coloon would have been put on one of the Johnsons in the Kilku game. Like, he is rapid. We've seen what Peter O'McCartan could do going forward. Petey Hart will be coming from that direction. McGinley and Canavan are full of experience, Thomas Canavan. So I think you're right, Will. I think we might get an element of that. And when you mentioned how tight the games were, I'd mentioned this to John Duggan and Paddy Christie on this Saturday before the game. Before the game at the weekend, 8 of Eirgil Kieran's 9 games had a score in it. Like, so their Tyrone semi-final, the Tyrone final, the Ulster semi-final and the Ulster final were all won by 1 point. Like, that's a normal time. The Crokes game obviously goes to extra time and they win by three. There's two other games that win by three and another win by two. One game went to a replay, and one game, the Ulster quarterfinal against Aaron's own Carrigan, I think they won by 8 points. On the flip side with Coola, it's sort of similar. Like, there's a lot of games there where there's just the score in it. Like the St. Mary's RD game, Leinster final, and the Kilmacud Crokes game, Dublin final, just a point. Now, there was different contexts in both of those games. The weather was insane for the Kilmacud Crokes games. We remember the win that day. And then the St. Mary's RD game, Coolhead raced into a 1-6 to no score lead in that game and let them back in. And we saw that happen again with Clare Strandhill. They built up a big lead and let them back into it. So I think both of these teams have definite strengths and have weaknesses that the others can exploit. And yeah, it's just going to be really, really interesting to see what way it goes on Sunday.
Yeah, I think a couple of Coolhead's wins were maybe a little bit more comfortable than the final scoreline might suggest. As in, yeah. Like, I thought the game at the weekend, they powered home when it got back within touching distance, but it always felt that they were at arm's length for the best part against Coolhead Strandhill.
Sure.
Similarly, the Tullamore game came down to a one-score game in the end, but I thought that they were very comfortable defensively against a team who didn't look
well,
like they were score against.
As long as they were stopping Cormac Egan at source, and they mightn't get away with that under the new rules.
No,
they did serious wreck, you know, stopping Tullamore's attacks from deep that day, and they got away with it.
Yeah, no, I think, and look again, tactical fouling is important. Man City were excellent at it. Rodri goes, now they can't do it and the empire falls. But yeah, Cormac Egan is going to tap and go on a lot of frees next year, I would say, county and club, and he's going to be a difficult guy to stop. Like once he gets that little bit of extra advantage and you can't just pull him down and they have to reset, him and a few other players who are good at breaking tackles are going to really, really enjoy that new rule, I think.
Yeah, I agree with you.
We'll see how he goes. But that's been the story, the two teams getting to the final. Let's hear from both camps now. First of all, let's hear from the Airgill Kieran camp. This is what Dara Canavan had to say when Tommy caught up with him at the full-time whistle in Newbridge.
Dara Canavan, the Airgill Kieran journey goes on. That was some game of football today.
Aye, but don't make it easy on ourselves. But now we got over the line and we're delighted. So
yeah. It must help, right? Because 8 of the 9 championship games you've played this year, you had a draw against Clonoe. You had your semi-final in Tyrone, your final in Tyrone, your semi-final in Ulster, and your final in Ulster, all won by a point. So when the game goes into the mental melting pot, you boys know how to manage it at this stage.
We'd rather not have to do that, Tommy, to be honest with you. But we've made a habit of getting in tough games and being able to get out on the other side of them. So hopefully the next game it'll not be another one for them. But no, we're delighted to get over the line and it'll be another big test next week.
Absolutely. You had different boys standing up. Yourself and Rory did a lot of the damage there for 54 minutes, but Mark Cavanagh gets a score. Peter O'McCartan does it again. Well, what is it with this kid? He's taking the shots on in the last minute. That was some equaliser.
He loves a big moment now, to be fair. And all the boys that came off the bench, Sparky, Podrick, all them lads that came off the bench were unbelievable. And We're so happy to be able to call on these boys to get us over the line in tough situations, like so.
Yeah,
we're very happy.
Yeah, big performances across the team. Joe Guz had a big extra time. Did he mean that?
I don't know. I haven't asked him yet, but I wasn't complaining anyway. He didn't fly into the top corner. So.
Yeah, unbelievable.
It was some finish. Unbelievable. I'm sure he did.
Yeah,
Italian did. Anyway.
The game of football itself. What was it like to play in? Because it was postponed, and you have all that stuff going on where it's been changed and schedules are changed. But once it got going, you felt like you were on it.
We supposed to be prepared well for it anyway, regardless, and you know it was out of our control. We couldn't do anything about the weather, like, so we just got on with it and trained well again this week, and thankfully we were able to put on a decent performance again. But it's going to take another big one next week, definitely.
Absolutely. Coola and Clare Strandhill are on at the minute. I'll let you get into the dressing room now and cool down a bit. It's a tight turnaround, the body, but mentally as well, that's the big thing. What are you going to do this week to just get right for it?
I just lock our rubs, ice baths, saunas, whatever we can, I suppose. But it's a big week and we're going to prepare as best we can, and hopefully we're able to put in a better performance than we did at times today. So we're looking forward to it.
Well done today. Last one, the TV cameras didn't pick up the pass for the goal. Did you give a shout or did you give a look or did you point or what happened?
I don't really know. He sort of made my run for me now. It was a good ball, but it was a clinker of a ball, so it would look bad if I didn't try to stick in the net after that there. So
Dara Canavan, well done today, super performance, and brilliant Sierra Kieran at the All-Ireland final. Best of luck next week.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Well done.
I saw a video, Tommy, of the pass, which was actually taken from the stand, which maybe gives you an appreciation. It happened so quickly that, understandably, the camera had to pan, and next thing the ball is already in Derek Hanneman's scoring territory at that point. But the appreciation of the pass, I know it's obviously a lot of space there, but it's a pinpoint perfect pass to set him away.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember the... There's fan footage again of a St. Vincent's game, Dublin Club Championship game of Dearmuid Connolly.
Oh, yeah.
Stepping back and playing an outside of the boot ball. I think Mossy Quinn actually collects her. Maybe it's another Vincent's forward. And I think they get a goal out of it. But it's one of those arrows. And it was just that low trajectory outside of the boot ball that spins. So when it actually goes over Dara's shoulder, like he doesn't have to change his direction or his path. When it goes over his shoulder, he collects it on the run. And he can just totally focus on his finish, which was exquisite. Like, and, you know, I'm embarrassed now that I actually questioned Joe Guz's goal after watching it back and seeing the replay. But it's, you know yourself, when you're following a game, your head is down and you're checking something or you're looking, and I noted his run and I got distracted. And when I looked up, the ball is arcing into the top corner and I'm like, did he go for that? Because he's 20 yards out. But I was chatting to a few people and they're like, in Tyrone, you're taught to go for the crossbar. Like, right, shoot for a crossbar, and like you'll get your rewards. Whether it's, like, you might get unlucky and come back. And I would have heard that back in the day, in Meath, maybe under 14 level or something. You know, with a 14 yard free, you should go for the crossbar, or 21 yard free. But I haven't heard a coach them play. But if that's what they're breeding up in Tyrone, it's smart thinking, because they got two brilliant goals and both of them were roofed. Usually the talk is keep it low and caress it or pass it into the corner and the keeper won't get down there. But it seems like they do it differently above in Tyrone.
That's for sure. And look, again, Augustus getting up. He's a very important auxiliary attacker for them as well. You mentioned already the one where Derek Hanneman had to do a crazy recycling job to get the ball back to him for the one he palmed home. And that was a very important goal. This one's slightly different and much harder skill on his part, but he gets up there and supports the forwards, that's for sure.
Yeah, and like I'd kind of done my prep for the game against Crokes. I haven't really gone through the Kula scores yet, but Augustus has contributed 2-7 so far this year. Orne Robinson, 2-6. Peter Hart, 1-8. Thomas Canavan, 9 points, 8 of them frees. Peter Oak McCartan, 8 points from play. Ben McDonald, 7 from play. Padraig McGurr, who comes off the bench and got a point at the weekend, 6 from play. And they're all coming off the bench, with the majority of them. Like, that's behind their two leading attackers. Dara, who's got 121 all from play, and Rory, 47 points. I clock it that he has 20 points from play from that 47. So, you know, like, that's, you know, they've a nice spread there across the team. And I think Kula have something fairly similar beyond Conn and Niall. And I know Luke Keating would take a lot of their frees as well. So there's plenty of scorers across the board on both sides.
Oh, there is high scoring in both cases. So yeah, that's interesting. Want to ask you as well, was that your first time in Newbridge since it's been done up?
In the new Newbridge? Yeah, it was. Yeah,
how did you find it?
I thought it was lovely and it was plush, a bit like the going over to the game in White Hart Lane, you know, the new Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. There's a bit of that, that off it. Doesn't necessarily have the longest bar in Europe, but no, I know, honestly, really impressed with it, really slick, really nice setup, as you'd expect with the money that's been put into it. The pitch itself, I don't think there was ever a problem with the pitch, you know. The pitch was brilliant at the weekend. And, you know, they're all really proud of it in Kildare. You can tell they're all really proud of the job that's been done. And I think it was really long overdue. Myself and Paddy Andrews were definitely one of Kildare's last home league games there. They may have bet the Dubs or drawn with the Dubs, and are definitely put up a good...
That was the year Dublin were relegated, yeah.
Yeah, in Division 2. So we were at that game and, you know, it was definitely... a job was needed to be done. But it's very impressive and... Yeah, nothing to write home about in terms of complaints or anything like that.
No. I think it's really nice. That's why I was actually just asking you how the experience was. Because I went to Killian a few weeks ago about it as well. And he said he was very impressed. He was at one of the night matches there. And again, it was Saturday night lights and really, really enjoyable when they were getting things moving. So,
but like they had the floodlights on. I have a note here, 13 minutes into the game, or was it maybe a little later, maybe 20 minutes into the game, they flicked on the floodlights because there was a bit of a kind of a mist coming around with the fog and, you know, like it and the kind of freezing weather. So, you know, they've got the whole setup there. And as I noted as well, they've even got the robot mower lying in the field. So there's no worries there as well. I thought that was impressive.
There you go. No expense spared in getting Newbridge up to speed. Let's hear then from Enda McGinley, who also spoke to Tommy after the game in Newbridge at the weekend.
Job done today in Newbridge. Errol Kieran are into their very first All-Ireland club final. It's 8 days away. We'll come to that in a minute. But what a game of football to come through.
It seemed that, again, I would be pretty poor when I'm standing on the line about judging the quality or that of the football, but even for me in the first half, both the scores Crokes were taking, some of their play, some of our play, some of the quality of scores we were taking, I thought this is a serious game. Our goals seemed pretty good in real time, so I'm sure on replay they'll hold up well too. But again, Crokes, we just could not shake them off, and then they got their noses in the front coming down the critical stage, and we probably played some of our poorest football just at that stage. 2-3 attacks, we definitely should have done better on, and then Ogie managed to get us into extra time. And again, for a team like none of them boys have played at this stage before, so for them to produce the majority of the performance in extra time is magnificent, like, and that has very little to do with management and a huge amount to do just with the character of the boys.
You've had a replay in Tyrone early on in your campaign. You've won 4 games by a point. I think another 2 were won by 2 or 3 points. So games have been in the melting pot going down the stretch for you, but it's the first time coming through extra time. What were you saying at the end of normal time? Obviously, McCartan's brilliant equaliser gives you a boost, but what were you saying? Because Rory and Darragh Canavan had kicked, I think, your first 11 scores, right? And then the next 2 are from 2 others.
Yeah.
What were you saying to the rest of the boys?
No, it was just preparing for the mental test that is extra time, because any player that has played the game, you know how your mind talks to you, and when you're tired, in moments in extra time, your body and mind would be telling you that you can't make that run, you've done enough, there's nothing left in you, you've nothing. And they literally had to steel themselves to shut that out and to go, and whether their legs were cramping or not, they had to go. It couldn't be an excuse not to go, and we'd get the subs on when boys were completely beaten, we'd try and get boys on. So it was as much just settling the minds for what was ahead. The boys would often talk about that they're going to have to go to, you have to go to a dark place. I know it's a cliche, but you have to go to a dark place to try and pull through big games, and they mentioned that at normal time too. But again, the players done a lot of the speaking. They were annoyed at what we were at on kickouts, so I had that there to sort out. So it was back down to basics in terms of, we knew the boys were going well, but we knew Crokes were also going to try and counter that as well, so other boys would have the legs and would stand up, and thankfully that proved to be the case.
I know you're keen to get into your lads here, I'd say. 8 days turnaround, you'll know who you're playing in a little while, Cooler, Calera, Strandhill. Can you just talk to us about your wee fella here beside you? And I actually confused your brother with you once there. I was looking for you after the game. You can see all the family here still on the field behind us from Errol Kieran. What does it mean to the club itself to be here now in this All-Ireland final? And on top of that, if you just can't get things right in 8 days' time, like, you know, like...
Look, it's impossible. It's impossible to put into words what it means to us. And I put that pressure on the boys today. I said, you are playing for the entire club here to try and put us to a place that we've never been. And they responded manfully to that. In terms of the 8 day thing, look, it's not ideal, but it's not going to be ideal for the opposition either. An extra 20 minutes isn't going to make a massive difference between us and them if the other game doesn't go to extra time, and it'll certainly not be an excuse that'll hold water in years to come when you're looking back and it's an All-Ireland final that you've lost. So we have that wee bit of talking to ourselves to do to settle ourselves and say we ain't going to use that as an excuse. We recover the bodies, we're a fit squad, hopefully the injury count isn't too bad. That would be my main concern, because you can't shift that. You can shift tiredness, but you can't shift an injury in 8 days or 7 days. So look, it's a brilliant, brilliant position to be in. The club will be buzzing for the boys themselves. Yes. Enjoy this evening and get recovered.
Last one.
Do you know what I love as well, Tommy? Obviously, this one, for anyone who's watching on YouTube, they get the addition of seeing the video. But for anyone who's listening on audio, every single club person from Errol Kieran seems to walk by the camera and take a quick look to see if they can go over and chat to McGilley and realize, oh, he's actually mid-interview, I better keep walking.
Yeah, you had the Canavans, the Harts, all the other families popping over at different stages. Like, they were all around. You could see them all. And it's actually, I'll be honest, like, we were looking for McGinley after the game, myself and Oran Crumley from the BBC. And the two of us met, like, you know, you're crisscross on the field, you're trying to go through all the bodies, you know, get a couple of players, but you're looking for, you know, the man himself, the manager. And I did confuse him with his brother. Twice I went over and then to tap him on the shoulder and then turn around, no, it's not him. Couldn't find him. And eventually got him in the entrance of the dressing room. And I think he was ready to go in and talk to his players at that stage as well. Like, I think the players had just started to go on into the dressing room. And, you know, time is of the essence for both sides, especially Errol Kieran. I think the lads in Coola can get the dart from Dalkey. They have a bit more travel to do from Tyrone, and then the lack of extra time as well makes a big difference. So that look, those things are trivial, and they're not going to really be in anyone's mind going into the game this weekend. It's the matchups, it's the the manner in which they try and get over the line. Can they make history for their club? You know, the Errol Kieran story is fantastic, but the cooler story on the flip side, can they go and win and join Finbarr's, a hurling and a senior football All-Ireland title? They had those two back-to-back in 17 and 18, am I right with that, Will? Or was it 16 and 17, 17 and 18?
It was 16, 17, I think, was it?
Yes, yeah.
I remember, I think it was.
Dallier and then Napiercy after a replay. So, Conn will certainly be getting his All-Ireland medals. Like, I was trying to go through the teams there yesterday. I haven't had a look since, and I wasn't sure was there Manny Moore who would have played back then as well. But unbelievable achievement for the club.
I wonder as well, and I did think about this a long time back, even when they were going for, you know, themselves and Nafina trying to win the Leinster Jewel, and as it worked out, they both did and completed that set. Those players who were around, and obviously Conn Principal, and I presume there's a lot of club people who would have been around when the hurling team was successful. I'm wondering if that's any advantage going into this weekend, because it is so new for every other team that's going there. Your first time finalists, there'll obviously be no one from Nafina who were around 25 years ago when their football team got to the final that would still be playing at this stage. I'm sure there's still some club people around. I'm wondering if that's a slight advantage to Coola, that at least as a club, they know in recent memory what it's like to have the hullabaloo of an All-Ireland final week.
Yeah, I think if it was more recent, well, I think you're probably right with that. I don't think it'll have any impact really on Nafina and Sarsfield in that game. I don't think that's going to make that much of a difference. Maybe the proximity to Croke Park and the fact that Nafina have played quite a few of their Leinster games there in the last couple of years as well would be a help. For Coola as well, like, Conn O'Callaghan is somebody who's like Mick Fitzsimons. Like, Croke Park is like a home to the two of them. You know, it's like, you know, Conn and Croke Park last February scoring a hat-trick against the Dubs. You know, how efficient he was in the first half against St. Mary's RD. He was awesome in that Leinster final back in December. Like, those things make a small difference, but like, they're totally different sides from the Coola team that played back in, you know, 7 or 8 years ago in those All-Ireland finals. You're probably right about the club in general, but like, on the flip side, imagine being in a parish where you're going to Croke Park together this weekend. You've been on this journey and you're all going up together. The buzz, the excitement, the novelty of it. Like, I think everyone else can get caught up in that, and it can help in a sense, you know, the energy of it all, to maybe with the, you know, the mental fatigue to get over the line. But I think the players themselves will be locked in, and it'll just be like another game to them. You know, quite a few of them would have played in Croke Park before, from Eric O'Kieran and from Coola. And, you know, it's not like they're playing in front of 80,000 people either. Like, they're going to be there. There's going to be their club supporters there from both sides, a couple of neutrals. The Hogan Stand will be fairly full. And, you know, I don't think the fact that they've won a club hurling All-Ireland 8 years ago is going to make a huge amount of difference. What do you think? Do you think it will?
I don't think it really makes that much of a difference, really. I think if there was more of a crossover of players,
yes,
you know, who are around, then it feels slightly different, because then you can naturally lean on people within the dressing room who have been there and done that. And as you said, maybe it actually is more, what's probably more important is the fact that both Coola and Nafina have played a lot in Croke Park in recent years.
Yeah.
And therefore, they're very familiar with the venue. And I mean, your club players are very familiar with it. I know Eric Kieran, as you say, has plenty of Tyrone players who have been there. There's lads in that Tyrone panel who are involved. You talk about Peter Hart already, who was there, was it 3 years ago when they won the All-Ireland Championship? Mm. That has to help, and you can obviously tap into that as well. For Sarsfield, despite having a few Cork players, this is incredibly new for them when it comes to the hurling. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. Like, I think the hurling is kind of magic when you consider Nafina, like, literally in their home area. Like, people will be leaving their house and just walking up the road to go to the All-Ireland final. That's
class.
What Croke Park is.
Yeah, it's class.
In the literal shadow of Croke Park. I remember seeing this before where I think AIB were doing a series previously, and they popped into a house and it was like, literally, you could see Croke Park. You could actually see, I think, the Cusick Stand from the back of people living in Nafina.
They do that, and then they make it a big thing. Like, it's a big club. I know Catra Murphy, who works as an off the ball and is on her travels at the minute, would have been a part of that. She would have been a part of the kind of the stroll from the clubhouse on Moby Road all the way down to Jones's Road and, you know, through Glasnevin and down. So, like, that's, there's a part of that that's really cool as well. You know, we often, you know, give a bit of slagging when the Dubs don't have to travel too far. But I think there's something class about that, being able to walk down to Croke Park. Yeah, that's going to be a great game. Like, both semi-finals before Christmas were won by a point. You know, Nafina 17 points, Loughrea 16, Sarsfield 18, Sloughneil 17. I think going into it, you know, we were saying that they were both relatively close, but, you know, we might have expected to end up with this final, these two in the final as well. Yeah, quality on both sides and attack as well. What way do you see it going?
Yeah, look, again, I think this is difficult. So if we're based on the two semi-finals, I've liked Nafina for a while out. I know we've talked about this a couple of times along the way, and I kind of got a feeling if they got a bit of momentum within the Leinster Championship itself, Nafina would be very, very hard to stop. And like, I think they play this wonderful brand of hurling. One of their goals, I think, was second in goal of the year, the Samba goal that we saw.
Yeah, unbelievable.
It was absolutely incredible. But that's what they can do. And while maybe they weren't at their brilliant best in Thurles back exactly a month ago, I think this weekend at that semi-final. So they've had 4 weeks to punch in between to get ready for this final. I still think when they hit their top gear, they're incredibly good. And yeah, I think they've got scorers. We know about how good Donal Burke can be in Croke Park, particularly if you get him out into open play. Sarsfields cannot afford to allow him to shoot because he's one of the elite shooters, as Skehel would say in the hurling pod, and he'll be reviewing the game this weekend when we come back with the hurling pod. But
you're back.
We're back this weekend, and I know that Skehel loves when Donal Burke pops into pockets of space. And then you've got the Currys and other players in that team. Nafina have got loads of scoring within them. I think Liam Rush has been one of those kind of great transfers into the club as well, where he still offers a remarkable amount to them with the way that he can spray possession around. And again, just his experience. He's been around, you know, Intercounty, wasn't playing for over a decade for Dublin before he finished up in a few couple of years ago. He is just, again, a guy who can be a steadying force within their team. And then I love Sarsfield's story getting to this final, because you have to come back after losing a county final, resettle a little bit. They won that game against Feakle, and then the belief all seemed to be there within the Sarsfields camp, which was, this feels a little bit like a free hit at Munster this year. Let's go for it. And I think you have to respect the way that they played against Ballygunner. You were at that game, Tommy. They hurled remarkably well. They were worthy winners against a team that we, from a long way out, had put almost the All-Ireland into the hands of Ballygunner. And Sarsfields ripped that script up entirely. Didn't play as well in that semi-final. And look, there's a shot towards the end of that game that if it goes under the crossbar as opposed to over it, we are talking about, at long last, Slach Neil have broken the hoodoo of an All-Ireland semi-final and gone to an All-Ireland final. They were the fine margins. Again, similarly, a long-range free could have been the difference between Loch Ray bringing that game to extra time or Nafina winning it. So very small margins in the semis. But I think the old adage, there is truth in it, semi-finals are there for winning. And in a way, for Sarsfields, it doesn't matter that they didn't hurl brilliantly in that semi-final. If they bring the Ballygunner-style performance into that game at Croke Park at the weekend, they're going to push Nafina all the way. I'd make Nafina kind of narrow favourites. I think Nafina have been the bookmakers' favourites, I think, since the provincial finals. Once things kind of fell, it was Nafina slightly ahead of Loch Ray, but the feeling was whichever team came out of that semi-final were probably going to be the team to beat. And then Sarsfields were third favourites with Slach Neil a bit out. I still think I'd respect Nafina and have them in that territory. But again, like, what a story. If you're a Nafina follower right now, it's only a couple of years ago they made the breakthrough in Dublin. And to have gone from winning your first county championship to becoming, you know, such a hard team to beat, the bit of resilience shown in the county final this year by laying siege to the goal and by hook or by crook getting it over the line at the end to retain their Dublin title, going on to win Leinster. Again, they put in some big performances. They were really good against Kilcormac Clyde, particularly in the semi-final. I thought they were really, really impressive that day. They were good against St. Martin's of Wexford as well. You respect, I think, what Nafina have done on this route to the final. So for me, Nafina, but probably only by a couple of points at the weekend.
Yeah, you're right. Like, I think Kieran Stacey has been unbelievable for them throughout as well. He's been really impressive.
Sorry, it was Stacey who got the goal. I was trying to remember who actually had the finishing touch. He got the goal.
Stacey and Curry got the goals, didn't they? Mm. Yeah. So, yeah, it's been really impressive. You threw me there. I don't think I was at that Sarsfields Ballygunner game. I think it might have been Jonathan or Ashley covering that game for us that day. But I watched it on...
They got the lucky draw that week.
Yeah, they got the lucky draw that week. It's a straw poll. We're emailing Will, you know, saying, "Oh, send me here, send me here." You're the man who makes the decisions. It was Regan who got the goals that day, wasn't it? The two brilliant goals late on. And their story has been unbelievable. You know, the rock on the sideline there, Dermot O'Sullivan, you've seen him after game celebrating and you know, they're a bit of an underdog story as well, and probably been written off because, you know, they were Cork's representatives. They hadn't necessarily won it. But once they kind of got by Feakle and that bit of momentum started building, like, it was just, yeah, I think once you get by a team like Ballygunner as well, there's something about the team that you believe you can do whatever it takes now. Can they perform in this All-Ireland final? The likes of Jack O'Connor, you know, they've got so many lethal attackers there as well. I think you're right. They're slight favourites, Nafina. Maybe the fact that they can walk down there will make that bit of a difference, but I don't know, it's hard to write off the Sarsfield team given what we've seen of them in the last couple of months.
Yeah, I look, they've turned around for Cork Hurling. Like we've mentioned this, really 2016 to 24, not a good time for Cork Hurling at senior level.
It doesn't take much to turn it around either, Will. You know, like a little bit of momentum, a team performing and pulling off an upset or two like they have done, and suddenly they feel different and they think differently about themselves and the chest is out and they're a dangerous animal when that happens.
No, big time. And look, again, that's a huge turnaround from a double digits beating they took from Ballygunner last year's quarterfinal to come around to winning this. And now, as you said, they've gone through to an All-Ireland final. So, yeah, I mean, I think this is perfectly poised, really, for 1:30 on Sunday afternoon. We can hear from the other teams playing in the football final. Let's hear from Austin O'Malley, because Coola's win coming in the end, like, I think, am I fair in saying, Tommy, that it was actually reasonably comfortable? I got my cup of tea and I sat back down and watched the second game after extra time, and I felt this isn't quite as helter-skelter as what we've seen in Newbridge, but Coola had a controlling influence on the game. Coola Strandhill maybe don't have the big scorers that you mentioned from the other three teams. So of the 9 points they scored, I think it was 7 different scorers that they had across the team. So they probably don't have maybe that marquee forward in the same way that Coola had when they needed Conn at different times during the game. Yeah. So he kicked 5-3 frees, got a lovely score from play towards the end of the game as well. Maybe is that just where it came up a little bit short for Coola Strandhill?
Yeah, and like I was watching back knowing the result. And now I had heard that, you know, even Paddy and Paddy certainly felt that Coola were very comfortable. But watching the game, the opportunities were there for Coola Strandhill. Like you mentioned a marquee forward, there's few as good as Niall Murphy across the country, but Murphy probably has to do a lot for Coola Strandhill. You know, he performs a couple of different roles there, and he kicked a couple of beautiful scores, but he was unlucky as well. He dropped one short that he might have scored in another day. He had another free that he missed in the first half that, you know, he'd have backed himself. It was slightly on the wrong side for a right footer, and it just went by the wrong side of the post. In the second half, when they got it back to 2 points, when they had that spell where they kicked 5 worldies in a row, Peter Laffey missed the shot. He kicked a belter in the first half and has scored some brilliant scores in their run so far. He missed an effort that probably wasn't on. And then Keelan Hart, who had scored the first point of the game, the goalkeeper, he got blocked with another long-range speculative enough effort. And then in the second half, he dropped another one short where he probably would have backed himself on a different day to put that over the bar, even if it is 45, 50 yards out. Like, if they go over the bar, maybe Coola are doubting themselves. So, I don't know. I'm not sure it was as comfortable as it was made out, but like when it happened, when the crunch came, Mick Fitzsimons goes on a couple of tearing runs up the field and Con O'Callaghan's imprint on the game just increases tenfold in that time. So we had already spoken about that a little earlier, like players like that who are able to just grab a game by the scruff of their neck when it's needed are like, there's no value really you can put in them. Like, so maybe that's why Coola were so comfortable really on paper, the Con factor, but yeah, it probably was a 5-point comfortable enough win. But if Coola Strandhill, a couple of things have gone their way, maybe they used up all their kind of their magic in the kind of win against Pierce's, but you know, the things that went right from that day just didn't go right against Coola.
Yeah, I think when they got back within two, the purple patch just didn't continue, and then Coola were able to wrestle back control a little bit. So here's what Austin O'Malley, the Mandra Coola, had to say when he spoke to Jonathan Higgins after their game in Cavan.
Delighted to get through that there. It was a hell of a game. We obviously knew coming in, you know, probably in terms of the homework we'd done and on Coola that, you know, it was probably an evening that you weren't going to see, you know, an awful lot of the ball. And when you did see it, you had to be very economical and execute and take your chances. And I thought we did that. We got a little bit loose there in the second half, without a doubt, maybe in terms of maybe some wrong shot options and that. But on the balance of it, just delighted to get through that. They're such a fine side and they're so well drilled and they're peppered with so much quality when you look through them. So, yeah, just delighted to get out of here with that.
I seem to say this a couple of times now over your performances here, a bit of everything really. You had to roll up your sleeves there, you showed your skill, you blew them away in little bursts of times. How do you sum up the game? Are you obviously pleased to get over the line, but performance wise are you happy?
Yeah, look, there's always work ons, and there's like with the year that we've had, you know, we're breaking ground, I suppose, a new ground every day. So, and we've got quite a lot of young guys in there as well, so you know, with the way these games play out, you're never going to own the ball, you're never going to dominate for 70 minutes. So it's about when you have the ball, you know, doing enough with it to get your nose ahead, and when you don't have it, it's trying to, you know, just negate the opposition and sort of kill energy and kill momentum and that. So yeah, the game is completely punctuated and we've loads to work on in terms of, we wouldn't be overly happy with that second half in terms of maybe the drop off and letting them back into it. So that's a big work on us this week.
Yeah, after some of the second half, I thought straight away when you got the one straight after the throw-in, that was it, you're going to cruise through. Even they got a point, you come back and got some more. But they just threw everything at you for a spell there.
They did, yeah. And look, they're an absolutely fine side. They're double back-to-back champions. They've taken a lot of really good teams out of it when you see what they, the way they handle Ballina and Pierce's and the run they've been on. And I know their backroom team, Con and Johnny and the guys, the work that they've put into them over the last couple of years. And they're so well coached and so well drilled. And well, we spoke about it at halftime that, you know, 3-4 points is not going to faze these guys. They've been in these situations before. So I was fully expecting them. We spoke about maybe them coming with an absolute thunderbolt there. And they did. So it was about absorbing that again and trying to wrestle momentum back, and thankfully we did it. But it's definitely a work on for us going forward now this week in terms of remedying that.
It helps that you have such clutch players, big players step forward. Con right at the end there, the pressure free, the point, and then popped one off to Niall. That's when you need your big players.
That is, yeah. And look, that's the value of experience and you know, leadership to step up and to, you have your games, you know, your game intelligence to understand those big moments and what's needed in them. And that's what you get from guys like that, and we've seen that so many times from Con and from Mick and from Pather and from all these guys.
Short turnaround, Ireland final though, that'll get rid of the bumps a little bit quicker.
Yeah, absolutely. And I said, you know, there in terms of like the scaffolding and the structures that we try to put around players from a sports science perspective now to get guys ready. So we just have to invest in that and go with that and get our detail ready. But it's a really good position to be in. Our season was built on opportunity, so it's another big opportunity for us to go out and do something special.
And looking around, a lot of red still. It'll be see a red hopefully in Croke Park next weekend.
Yeah, please God. Like, and just you know, looking out on them there, obviously the Vista, they've all travelled again, and it's just so heartwarming to see such a amount of young people again and the energy that they bring to it. And we all know the work that goes into getting kids out and getting them dressed up and feeding them on, you know, they all got buses up here this evening and it's going to be late home and the turnaround and that. So just so pleased and so thankful for them, because they've really got behind us this year, and we're so thankful and grateful.
There you go. So that was what Aston O'Malley had to say after Coola's win. Elsewhere across the weekend, we're going to have to wait for a refixture for the Intermediate Football Club final after that horrific tragedy that happened in Mayo last week. So they say that'll be reset in due course. It's likely to be in a couple of weeks' time, with the All-Ireland Club Junior Football Championship semi-final between Kilmurry of Cork and Naoimh Porrigmuff of Donegal. Yeah. That went all the way. Parnell Park, extra time. And it was Muff who won on penalties, 3-1.
Yeah, a remarkable story. And the club themselves, as we're talking about again, they've had some story. I know they've had, you know, a really tough time up there as well. They lost one of their players, I think, last year, and a young fella at the time. So they're a really, really small club, and this is a massive thing for them. It's huge for them, and they're all really excited up there about this All-Ireland final. Keenan McColgan is one of their key players. He kicked 3 points in play at the weekend. And I'm not sure if you saw the clip for the for the penalty in extra time there. I think they're 2 points down at the time. And he's like the road runner cutting in from the roadside on Parnell Park. And, you know, the footage itself is grainy. And I think there was people accusing of him of hitting the ground a little easy. When he's moving that fast, Will, any sort of a touch is going to see him take a tumble. And to be fair to him, he took his tumble and he offloaded the ball to one of his teammates. But the referee still gave a penalty. It was dispatched. And then Kilmurry got the equaliser. But the Naoimh Porrigmuff boys buried their penalties and they won 3-1. So that's a big game. That final is the 25th.
Yeah,
of the month. So yeah, best of luck to both of the teams that day.
Yeah, I saw Carrua win against Balnagar in the other semi-final. That was an absolute corker a couple of Sundays ago. And Balnagar had a shot right at the end, which was cleared over the crossbar, which could have well sent that game to extra time as well. So Carrua won an absolutely brilliant game. So I think they're going to be a tough team to beat in the final. But obviously, Naoimh Porrigmuff of Donegal coming through after extra time and winning on penalties 3-1. The junior hurling final was the first of what was eventually a doubleheader at Croke Park. And this is just Kilkenny dominance, Tommy, is what's happening here. So 5 wins in 6 years. I think it's really clear the teams who are outside the top two flights in Kilkenny are generally much stronger than any other county they could potentially face. I know there's been lots of arguments about, you know, say the intermediate football champions and Kerry being the ninth best team in the county, and so therefore they're quite a stretch ahead of some other counties. It's very clear the Kilkenny champions, and indeed the Cork champions, tend to be quite strong at this grade. But St. Loughton's Kilkenny, their big homecoming, their first ever All-Ireland, they brought it back to Freshford on Sunday night. I saw Casey Lawler doing a full live broadcast, and Oisín Langan was there, and he was soaking in all the enjoyment of that win. But this is a team who put in a massive performance. So they were a goal up at half time. but eight players had scored from play. All of their starting forwards and their two midfielders had scored from play in the opening half, which goes to show a remarkable spread around the goal.
Good sign.
So Shane Donnelly got the goal for them as well, and St Loughton's beat Russell Rovers in the end, 118 to 16 points. But it was Cork celebrations in the intermediate hurling final, which was the second game. And this was, again, an absolute cracker that went right down to the wire. The crucial moment comes right at the end. We'll hear from Sean Desmond in a moment, but I'd say you've seen the goal now at this stage, Tommy, when he gets sent in behind. So Tina Abidunnery of Galway were pushing it right down the track. It was 18 points, 1-15. You're thinking maybe Sean Desmond shortens his grip, taps this over the crossbar, reset and defend the puck out. But he had goal on the mind, and that was all he was going to do.
I think he was right as well. The goalkeeper probably, he was scrambling to get back because it was probably nearly a lucky break. He came off the defender's hurl and into Desmond's path, and he had 40 yards of green grass and an empty hill 16 behind the goal to run into. And the keeper is scrambling back to try and get back into position. You got to go for goal there, Will, especially in hurling. You know, you've got to go for goal. There's 50 seconds left in the clock. The teams have been back and forth with a couple of belters of points over the previous couple of minutes. And then a couple of shots drop short, as can often happen in those clutch moments. And both sides had opportunities before Desmond buried it. And that was that, yeah. The celebrations were unbelievable. A really good game, a cracking game of hurling. Again, in the intermediate final, there have been a couple of great finals in recent years in the intermediate grid.
Yeah, and look, I think as well, he does everything you're coached not to do. So you should really be going across the goalkeeper. Again, I'm sure most coaches.
But he left him that space.
And to his credit, right? If you're going to hit it firmly and you hit it down the near side in the way that you did, it's hard for a goalkeeper, because you say the goalkeeper is kind of backpedaling, and also he doesn't want to get in a position where he has to reshift. And naturally, if you're a goalkeeper, you're trying to protect the shot, which is going to be a cross goal, which is the percentage shot. And so therefore, there's a certain element of surprise. And Desmond absolutely nails the shot. It's a perfect finish.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really, really impressive. So he was captain as well. So what day for him? The absolute Roy of the Rovers day. And he spoke to Jonathan Higgins in the tunnels of Croke Park after the game.
Last puck of the game coming through, down and goal in the hill 16 to win the game. What was going through your head?
I actually don't know, to be honest. It was just... there's so many things can go through in that kind of moment, you know, but I just had one thing in my head: let's go for the juggler. And look, thankfully I didn't. Thankfully got into the back of the net. It was just it was a roller coaster of a moment, to be honest, but it's something that you dream of as a young child, you know, getting the winning score in Croke Park and All-Ireland final day. And look, thankfully I got to live my dreams today, you know.
Some coaches would be like, tap it over, take the point, the game is nearly up. You were, as you said, going for the juggler.
Yeah, definitely. Look, that's one thing I always say to myself: if I get on the break of a lucky ball maybe or something like that, I'm going straight for it. And it's something that I always say to myself. And look, it kind of happened again here today. I got one similar kind of in the county final against Carrigaline, and I stuck it into the back of the net, and today was no different. You know, I just went, let's go straight for this, and thankfully just rattled in it.
Injury time was just chaotic. You had the lead, they come back. I thought we were going to be here for another half an hour, but then it just seemed to open up. Your eyes must have lit up at that stage when you snuck in behind.
Yeah, it was just a whirlwind of 5 minutes, to be honest with you. You know, there were some crucial moments in it, to be honest with you. I suppose, look, I managed to get on another ball, played in from middle of the park. I got on the ball, and I got a score out of it. I think Dylan Roach got a score near the end of the game as well. And I suppose, yeah, it was just mental, to be honest with you. I don't know how to really sum it all up.
Your medal haul is quite impressive now, this last 6 months alone.
Yeah, it is one thing that I'll remember for a long while anyway, to be sure. But yeah, look, it's not just, I suppose, it takes a lot of commitment too, and it takes a lot of fellas to do it, you know, but it's one thing that I'll definitely cherish for a long time.
Yeah, you got to walk up the Hogan stand, you lifted the cup, and judging by the noise in the background, a bit of celebrating to do.
We'll do a bit tonight anyway, I suppose, but it's a dream to go up the steps, you know, and to collect that cup. It's something that will live with me forever, and I'm sure the lights won't be out tonight too early in Nameworks.
Yeah, the lights won't be out too early. I'm sure the lights probably haven't gone out in the few days since with the enjoyment the Watergrass Hill have had after that win. So congratulations to them. For me, Tommy, so I'm going for a North-South Dublin double this coming Sunday. Coola Nafina. What were you predicting here?
I'm with John Nafina. I've been really impressed with him. I think the Donald Burke factor this year, there's even been games where he hasn't had to have that much of an impact. But just having him there this year, Croke Park... I just think Nafina will get over the line. You know, Stacey, as I mentioned earlier, has been brilliant throughout. The Erga Kieran Kula game, that is just so hard to call. Really is. The two boys went Kula on the football pod. Right. And there's this thing on the football pod when we give predictions and all three of us go for the same team.
It's a curse, right?
Seems to be a bit of a curse, Lack. So I've gone for Erga Kieran. Not for the sense that I want to avoid a curse, but I don't think anyone can be so sure in this game. And the bookies certainly aren't. I think Erga Kieran are slight favourites. That might change during the week. Because I would actually have Kula as the slight favourites. But I think I'm going to just give the edge to Erga Kieran that this fairy tale story, they're going to get over the line at the weekend. But again, I don't know what's going to happen. Like, you know, there's games you go into and you feel pretty confident. And I to be honest, I felt confident Erga Kieran would win after extra time. They would get through the last day, whether it be penalties or extra time. I thought it was going to go down to the wire and I thought they'd get over the line in that sense. At the weekend, I wouldn't be making any calls like that this weekend. I don't know what way it's going to go. I just hope we're going to get a shootout, Will. Both games, I hope we get a shootout because we really could get two brilliant All-Ireland finals on Sunday.
Yeah, no, I really hope so. I mean, the semi-finals have set things up beautifully with how close all four games were. So hopefully some of the very similar at Croke Park at the weekend. So 1:30 is the hurling final. Football final's at 3:30. If you can't make it there, they're both on TG Carher Live. Also, we're going to have updates on Off the Ball across the afternoon. It's a bumper day with the Premier League back this Sunday. But Tommy's going to be at the football final between Erga Kieran and Kula. And Jonathan Higgins going to be there 1:30 for the hurling for Sarsfields against Nafina. So all that to look forward to. Of course, the Club Championship Show will have a full review of everything that happens this weekend. We'll also, of course, have coverage across the hurling pod and football pod at the start of next week too. So you're going to be well covered with all the fallout from Sunday afternoon. But Tommy's going to be watching the football. Jonathan at the hurling. JD will keep you up to date throughout Off the Ball this coming Sunday as well. Our coverage of the club championships here across ladies football, hurling, camogie, all with thanks to AIB. They're the proud sponsors of all four championships now. Check out the hashtag the toughest for this coming weekend. Tommy, we'll speak to you again next week. Thanks a million.
Good work, Will. Talk soon, man.
All right, that's it. We'll look forward to the finals this week. Talk to you next week.
The Club Championship Show on Off the Ball in partnership with AIB, proud sponsors of the football, ladies football, hurling and camogie All-Ireland Club Championships. Check out hashtag the toughest for more.